Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good evening and welcome to our midweek service here at Grace Family Church in Jasper. We welcome all of our church family, all of our friends. Glory to God. And even those of you who may view this broadcast at a later date, we welcome you in the name of Jesus. You know, there's no distance nor time in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. And we're excited about what God has for all of us. You know, I include myself in this. I tell our folks here, listen, we're in this thing together. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's get into the word. But before we get into the word, let's pray and agree. I want you to believe God with me and mix faith with the word of God tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for this opportunity to gather here. We thank you, Father, for your great love and mercy, your faithfulness, the mercies that are new each and every morning, the benefits that we enjoy every day that we awake. We awake unto your righteousness. We awake unto that which you've provided for us through Jesus. And Father, as we approach your word tonight, Lord, we do so reverently, humbly. We open up our hearts and our ears. Oh, we thank you for your word. The entrance of your words give light. Thank you for the light that comes tonight to our hearts. Thank you for bringing illumination to us, revelation, inspiration, impartation. Oh, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you that every ear is a listening ear. Every heart is a receptive heart. Your word is an incorruptible seed. It lives and abides forever. Oh, praise God. And it accomplishes what you sent it to accomplish. We thank you for it. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the book of James, the 5th chapter. Last Wednesday night, we started a Wednesday night series called Establish Your Heart. Establish Your Heart. The Lord gave this scripture to me as a text. We're going to look at two or three scriptures as our text, but this is one of the main ones here. James chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain." Well, we see right here in verse 7 that God is the husbandman, and he has long patience. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, and the reason that he is because he wants people to be delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated over into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And he has long patience. But notice what verse 8 says. It says, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." So both of these scriptures here are really what we would call end time scripture. And we see here in verse 8, it says that we're to be patient and we're to establish our hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So that tells me that before the Lord comes, the admonition that we have from the scriptures is that we are to establish our hearts. If there's ever a time that your heart needs to be established, it's in the day which we live. Because we know that the scriptures tells us in the last days there will be perilous times. We even see things around us at this moment. So it is ever more important and vital that you establish, that I establish my heart. We're going to see how we do that. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. You're right there. Just take a ride in your Bible. Go through 1 Peter and come to 2 Peter. We see in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Do you know that grace and peace can be multiplied in your life? Well, how's it going to be multiplied? Through the revelation knowledge that you have of God and of Jesus. It says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." Look at this. "Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these what? The exceeding great and precious promises, that we can be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, we can escape the stuff that's in this world. And we can do it because we can partake of something that's supernatural. We can partake of God's divine nature. Grace and peace can be multiplied in our lives while we're here. And it's multiplied through the revelation and the knowledge of God's word. It tells us right here that God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. That it's by these promises, it's by these scriptures, it's by God's word that we not only have revelation knowledge of God and of Jesus and grace and peace is multiplied, but it's through the word of God that we partake of something that's heavenly, that's something that is divine. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Now go with me. You're right there in 2 Peter. Take a right. Let's keep going right. Let's go to, you got 1 John. And once you get past 1 John, these are the letters that John wrote to the church. And you have the second epistle of John. Then you've got 3 John. Okay, it's only one chapter. 3 John, chapter 1, verse 3. John wrote and said this. He said, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." You remember Jesus said in John chapter 8, he said, "If you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He said in the upper room with his disciples, he prayed to the Father that they would be sanctified and kept and separated from the evil that's in this world. And he said, "Father, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." So here John writes, and he said, "I rejoice for the truth when I heard of the truth that is in you." And not only is it in you, but I rejoice that you're walking in that truth. And God has no greater joy than to see you and me walking in the truth or walking in the word. Walking in these exceeding great and precious promises. Not just hearing them, but walking in them. But let me say something to you. You can't walk in something if it's not in you. Because he said, I rejoice of the truth that when I heard that the truth that is in you. So this is what these services are about. About let's go into the exceeding great and precious promises. Let's get our heart established in his promises. Because it's going to do certain things. It's going to multiply grace and peace in your life. Let me say something about grace. Grace is God's ability to do for you what you can't do for yourself. Okay? Peace is something where nothing's missing, nothing broken. Oh, hallelujah. Plus, you get more revelation of your Father and of Jesus and his heart, who he is, what he thinks, what's in his heart towards you. Having that established in you. And through that establishing and through knowing that truth, walking in that truth, it makes you free. Free from anything that would try to bring you into captivity or in bondage that's in this world. Now, with that being said, we began to look at some scriptures in the Word of God. We started in the book of Psalms. I have over 140 references here that I've written down of scriptures. I'm talking about exceeding great and precious promises. And we began in the Old Covenant in the book of Psalms. We're going to look tonight in the book of Proverbs. Next week, hopefully we'll get into the book of Isaiah, and then we'll start moving over into the New Covenant. But let me say this to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, all the promises of God. How many? All of the promises of God. That means any promise that's in the Old Covenant, any promise that is in the New Covenant. All the promises of God are yea and amen, or yes and amen in him now, in Christ. Just like Psalm 91. Just like Psalm 103, we looked at that last week. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Then it begins to list the benefits. How he's forgiven our iniquities. He's healed our diseases, delivered our life from destruction. Crowned us with his loving kindness and tender mercies. And even satisfies our mouth with good things. Oh, many things. All of these promises are to us now because Jesus came to us. And through the cross, we filter everything through the cross now, through the death, burial, and resurrection. And on the other side of that thing is this, yes and amen. God has put his stamp of yes upon every promise to you. And it's not based on you anymore. It's based on what Jesus did. Because Jesus was your substitute. Jesus came in your stead. Jesus took away anything that would interfere. For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But see, Jesus took that sin, bare it in his own body on the tree, so that now we can be dead to a sin consciousness, and we can live now unto righteousness, unto a spiritual position and standing that we have with God because of the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, can you say amen? Now we have promises. Now we have things that God has said to us. And it's covenant promises that he's given to us. And through these exceeding great and precious promises, we can partake of these things. But we have to have these promises in us. We have to establish our heart. And we'll see why in just a moment. You ready? Let's go to Proverbs, the third chapter, and let's begin here. Proverbs chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. I was thinking as I was meditating about the service today and praying for us and for this service, I was looking at these scriptures and I said, oh Lord, just like last week, I mean, I could take just this one scripture we're fixing to read and I could do a series on this. I'm going to have to hit the highlights in this and move on to the next scripture so we can get through the book of Proverbs. And like I said last week, now there will be some times when we get to certain scriptures that the Holy Ghost may have us just camp out there. And that's okay, because we want to follow him. But we see right here in Proverbs chapter 3, these are scriptures, and let me say this again to you. These are scriptures. Now listen, I have many hundreds of scriptures that we're not going to cover. Okay, but this is not a Bible reading, okay, where we're going to just read through every scripture in the Bible. These are scriptures that I have written down that have ministered to my heart and that I've desired to establish my heart in over the years. And so the Holy Ghost quickened this in me. And like I said, I have over 140 references here. And so we're going through these. Now, here's one of them. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is a powerful, powerful scripture. You know, the Bible tells us to trust in the Lord where? In our heart. With all your heart. And don't lean into your understanding. Your understanding is just your mind, your head, your reasoning, your thoughts. You know, we all deal with thoughts. And when we deal with situations, when we pray about situations, listen, because of the external, because of the outward, because of the report that we're hearing, because of what's been told us, because of what our eyes can see or what our body can feel, your mind can go to many places. But see, we have to get our minds renewed. And we have to get our minds transformed by the Word. So we will not be conformed to the world or to all the feelings and the emotions and the report that we're being told, but we'll be conformed to what God says about it. Our mind will get in harmony with our inner man, our spirit man. And we'll begin to trust on the inside. That tells me that there's activity that can go on in your heart, and it'll be totally separate from your mind or your head or your understanding. And that's where a man believes. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. So you got to focus on your spirit in here. When we talk about a heart, you know, the other day, we here I go again. Dana wanted a watermelon. And so I went and bought a watermelon. Oh, Lord Jesus. Iced that thing, got that thing chilled down, cut it up, chilled it down. Wonderful, wonderful. But see, when we talk about the heart, when you talk about the heart of a watermelon, you're talking about the very center of that watermelon. The center of it, the heart. See, well, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about your heart. We're talking about the center of your being, not just your mind, your head. You know, like I said, we deal with stuff all the time. You deal with things. But you're going to have to rightly divide. Not just the word. You're going to have to divide between soul and spirit. You're going to have to get out of your head and get away from just the stuff that's outward that's causing these things to come to your mind and you're trying to reason it. No, you're going to have to get in your spirit and you're going to have to trust in your heart. And the Bible tells us in all of our ways we are to acknowledge him. Go with me. I got a scripture for you. Go with me to Psalm 118. Take a left. Go back one book. Go to 118. Notice we're to acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways. We're not to acknowledge people in all of our ways. A lot of times when people get in situations, the first thing they do is they start acknowledging people. They start calling people. Now listen to me. Listen to the spirit of what I'm saying. We can agree with people. We've got scriptures that says, if any two of you shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask. So yes, there are times when we call our brother and sister. The Bible says we pray one for another. Okay? There's corporate prayer. You know, when the apostles were threatened and they were let go, they went to their own company. And they all lifted up their voices and prayed together. So yes, there are times when we pray one with another. We agree with each other. That's scriptural. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when people get in situations. I'm talking about believers. The first thing they do is they run to people. The first thing we're to do is to acknowledge Him. That's my point. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Get out of your head, get into your heart, and begin to acknowledge Him. Go to Him. Notice this. Notice the scripture in Psalm 118. I trust this will bring forth the spirit of what I'm trying to say. Notice here in verse 5. It says, I called upon the Lord in distress. You know, a lot of times we've had people, I've had over the years many, many, I can't even count the times, people get in situations, even people walk the streets out here, try to pull on churches and other people, and they say they're in distress. But they're not calling on the Lord. They're going to people and want people to bail them out. You see, they're never going to get out of that. They're on a treadmill. They're on a spiritual treadmill, and they got to get off that treadmill. I've tried to get people off that treadmill. There's been a few people that I've been able to get off that treadmill. Many you don't. It's sort of like the prodigal son. They have to come to themselves. The prodigal son, the scripture says, when he come to a place where no man could help him, then he came to himself. It's interesting how when you're at the bottom of the bottom and there is nowhere else to run to, a lot of times that's when people turn to the Lord. The thing about that is we don't have to wait till we get to that place. The scripture says in all of our ways, we're to acknowledge Him. And even when we're in a tough situation, when we get in distress, it says right here, the psalmist says, I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Notice verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. From what I understand, verse 8 is the center scripture. It's the center scripture of the whole Bible. Isn't it interesting that the center scripture of the whole Bible says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in people? Once again, I want to tell you this. It's okay to get in agreement. It's okay to pray with someone. I don't mind praying with people. I love praying with people. But the thing is, people have to know and to be admonished. Listen, the Lord is their help. The Lord is my help. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my light and salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. So, hallelujah. Got to move on. Like I said, we could spend time there. Glory to God. Now, let's go to the verse 9. Here's another scripture that has meant a lot to me. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I'm just going to say this to you, and we're going to move on, because I know sometimes when you get over in scriptures like this, people start shutting down on you because it's talking about honoring the Lord with your substance or with your money or with your finances. But I do know this. I didn't write this scripture. I want to ask you a question. Did I write the scripture? I want to ask you another question. Do you believe in your heart that this is God's word? Now, that's a yes or no answer. Can you take that scripture literally and take it to your heart in your life? Yes, you can. There's no pressure here. God loves you and me. Listen, God loves a cheerful giver whose heart is in His giving. He never wants anybody to do anything out of necessity or begrudgingly. You know, there was a leper who came to Jesus. the first recording of healing that we have in the Gospels in Matthew chapter 8. There was a leper who came to Jesus and said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean." One translation says, "Lord, if you want to, you can heal me and make me clean." Jesus looked and touched him, turned to him and touched him and said, "I want to." That's where this thing originates. Where's your want to? Do you want to honor the Lord? Well, you can honor him in many ways, but one of the ways you honor him is with your substance, with the first fruits of everything that he blesses you with. Oh, it's a major deal with me. It has been in my life. And I can truly say, even though we've dealt with situations and circumstances and we've been in some tight spots, but I can tell you right now, hallelujah, we are supplied and we are blessed because of the Lord and we honor him. Amen. Let's move on. Let's go to Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Here's another scripture in the book of Proverbs. Hallelujah. I could say some more about Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. But I just want you to take to heart that that's God's word to you, just like it's God's word to me. And he's not a respecter of persons. Glory to God. Now, this is a scripture where I said, listen, we could do a series. I mean, several week series on this passage of scripture right here. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, "My son," or I could even say my daughter, "my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they," my words, my sayings, we could say it like this, "are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, there's many, many things we could say about this. But I'm just going to say a few things about it and trust the Spirit of God will download in you and impart some things to you, and that you will take this scripture in the days to come and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you in your life where you are right now and what this means to you. But first of all, the Father, our Heavenly Father, who inspired this by His Spirit, He told us to attend to His words, and He told us to incline our ears to His sayings. Now listen, if you pay attention or you attend to God's words, or you incline your ear to what He's saying, then that means you're going to have to leave what somebody else is saying off. I want to say that again. If you and I are paying attention to what He's saying, and we're listening to what He's saying, that means we're shutting off the other voices out there that's in this world. And there are many voices, you know, for weeks we've talked about this. Even last year, leading up into this year, we talked about how that we follow the voice of the good shepherd and the voice of a stranger we don't follow. There's many voices in the world and none without signification. There's a lot of things being said. There's a lot of people saying a lot of different things right now. On social media, everywhere, the news. But what does God say? So we're going to have to let our ear be listening, and we're going to have to pay close attention to what God is saying, what His Word says. Okay? That's very important. That's very important. And notice this, we let them, let His words not depart from our eyes. Because see, there's things that you can watch on your smart device, on your laptop, on your iPad, whatever device you have, on your television, and you're letting things going through your eye gate. And we see here that the Word of God right here is not to depart from our eyes, but we're to keep it in the midst of our heart. And in the 23rd verse, we're to keep our heart with all diligence. How do we keep our heart? One translation talks about guarding your heart, but here it says keep your heart. How do you do that? You do that by what you pay attention to what you're hearing and what you're watching. What you're letting go through your eyes and what you're letting go through your ears. Can you see this? So It's very important. Why? Because out of your heart flow the issues of life. When you get in situations and circumstances, when you find yourself in a situation, what's going to come out of your heart is what's going to deal with that situation. It always works from the inside out, not from the outside in. Matter of fact, we see that the Word of God, He said, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? For they are life. We're talking about divine life. You remember we read the scripture earlier that through these exceeding great and precious promises, it's through these promises and through God's words and what He's saying that we partake of something supernatural and divine that even can cause us to escape the very corruption and the stuff that we deal with in this world. Even though we're in this world, we're not of this world. We've been born again. We've been born from above. And so now we've got to pay attention to our Father. He's the Father of spirits. He's the Heavenly Father. His words are above all. We have to pay attention. That's why you need to ask yourself the question, I don't care what situation you find yourself in, what does the Bible say? Let me find a scripture. Let me find an exceeding great and precious promise so that I can lock in on that promise and put that in my eyes and let my eyes look at it and listen to it and read it out loud or hear someone teach about it and get it in my heart and get my heart established. I'll keep my heart, for out of my heart are the issues of life. Turn with me, go with me to chapter, you're right there in the fourth chapter, go over to the 14th chapter. While you're turning to the 14th chapter, notice also he says the word of God is life to those that find them. And notice he said this, and it's health to all their flesh. Now I look over in the margin of my Bible, I got a little number two by the word health. And I got the word letters H-E-B, that means Hebrew. It's written in Hebrew. And the word health, it says medicine. So literally, God is saying to us, attend to my words, incline your ear to what I'm saying, okay? Keep them before your eyes. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it in your heart. Why? Because it's life to you, and it's medicine to your flesh. Now, I want to say this to you. Are you listening to me? It didn't say that God's word is like medicine. It didn't say it's a type and shadow of medicine. He said, my words are life to those that find them and medicine to your physical body, to your flesh. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that? Is that true? Did you make that verse up? Did I make that verse up? Or is that God's word to us? It is His word to us. So let me ask you this. How much medicine can you take of this and have harmful side effects? You can take all you want, and there's no harmful side effects. Matter of fact, you need to double up on the medicine. If you get in a situation physically, begin to double up, triple up. You know, you see some medications that take one tablet every 4 to 6 hours. Or take this little liquid, so you know, one tablespoon every 4 to 6 hours. You can take this on the hour. You can open up the Word of God and begin to put it in your heart. And the Bible tells us, God said it is medicine. He didn't say it's like medicine. See, when it comes to the devil, he's like a roaring lion. He isn't a roaring lion. He's like a roaring lion. See, there's only one lion of the tribe of Judah, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to the Word of God, it's not like medicine. It is medicine to your flesh. Oh, please, I beseech thee. I beseech thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your heart to the truth and reality of what is being said in His Word. Listen, I'm talking to me just as much as I'm talking to you. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Notice here in chapter 14, verse 30. It says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. A sound heart. Let me say it to you another way. A heart that is established. How much more do we need our hearts established before the coming of the Lord? And the reason we need established, because there's always been issues. There's always been things that all of us have to deal with. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, the same afflictions are accomplished in our brethren that are in the world. We all deal with things in our life. Some deal with different things, but there still are other people. We're not on an island by ourselves. Somebody else has gone through the very same thing we've gone through, or even going through. But let me say something to you. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. God's word is above all. The Bible tells us that Jesus, his name is above every name that is named in heaven and earth and even under the earth. I'm talking about anything that has a name. His name is above it. But you know, the Bible says that God has even magnified his word above his name. You know, in reality, his word, God and his word are one. Jesus is the word. And the word became flesh. But he is the word. Jesus is the living word. But the written word reveals to us who the living word is. He is life. His words are medicine. When we establish our heart, when we get the truth on the inside of us, there's no wonder that God said in his word, I have no greater joy than to hear and to know and see that my children are walking in truth. Because see, the truth makes you free. Free from everything that would come against you. The truth is above a lie. And the devil is the father of lies, and there is no truth in him. So you have to confront the liar himself who comes against you and tries to attack you with the truth. Because truth prevails. Jesus is the truth. John 14:6. His words are truth. His words are spirit and life. John 6:63. Oh, hallelujah. So we establish our heart, and so when we have a sound heart, when we keep our heart with all diligence, when we attend to the words of God, that causes us to have a sound heart, and it tells us in Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. See, a strong spirit, a sound heart, the inner part of your being needs to be established. Because, see, that's what you're going to live from. That's what you're going to trust in. You're going to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And you're not going to lean to what's going on in your mind sometimes. Because listen, thoughts come, fiery darts come to your mind, just like it does to mine, to my mind. You know, I've heard this saying years ago. You can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from building a nest in your hair. What does that mean? It means thoughts come to all of us. But you know what? We address those thoughts. We take every thought captive. We bring those thoughts to the obedience of Jesus and what he did for us. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Now, let's move forward. Let's go to the 16th chapter. Like I said, that was just the warm-up on those scriptures in Proverbs chapter 4. There's many things that could be said. But we're going to move forward. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 16. Let's look at something else here. This is something that has been, oh man, something I want my heart established in. Because it has to do with my life. Where I am in life. Where I'm going in life. Notice this. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. It says, the preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. I want to read that again. The preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know, there's a scripture, I think, in Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, it talks about it's not even in man's heart to be able to devise or to know his own way. Now, see, a lot of people think they know their way and what to do and how they need to do it. But it's not. Everybody needs God. Everybody needs the Spirit of God on the inside of them to help them. I said something. I may have said this Sunday morning. I'm going to say it again. You remember a while ago, you need to acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. A lot of times, people run to people. And once again, I want you to understand there's nothing wrong with counsel among people or talking with people. I don't want you to take from this that you're not supposed to talk to other people about things. That's not what I'm saying. First and foremost, we go to Him. Because see, the preparations in your heart and the answer about your life comes from God. That's why you can go to the most educated people in this world, people that you know, people that's so much more educated than you are, been to many places that you haven't been. And thank God for experience and wisdom that people have. I'm not belittling that. But in a lot of cases, that's not enough. You can't just depend upon that, is what I'm trying to say. And the reason you can't is because even as much as these people know, listen to me. Are you looking? Let me get closer. Look at me. They don't know the future. They don't know what's going to happen in 3 months or 3 years. So what they tell you, even in all their educated knowledge and understanding, may not be enough for you because they don't know what's down the road, but the Lord does. And that's why you're to acknowledge Him. And that's why you're to be led by the Spirit of God. Now that's worth the price of admission tonight. If I don't say anything else to you. You know, you can come to God and acknowledge Him and look to Him. And you can even commit your life and where you are in life and where you even think you need to go in life. You can commit these things to Him. And He'll begin to establish your thoughts. You'll have the mind of Christ. God has given us a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. And confusion and questions and uncertainty will leave. And your thoughts will begin to be ordered and structured. And there will be peace and simplicity and rest and calm. There won't be no storm raging in your mind and in your reasonings. Confusion. No. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. It'll be easy and light. And you won't be burdened down and heavy laden with your life. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Go with me. We'll look at chapter 20. Here's another scripture that coincides with this. Chapter 20 of Proverbs here, verse 24 says, "Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Man's goings are of the Lord." Basically, what that's saying to us is, listen, your life, truly, if you're going to go in life where you need to go in life, where you'll be truly fulfilled in your life, it's going to be because of the Lord. And because you acknowledge Him. And because you're being directed by Him. Because man, as much as he thinks, he knows. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. That's what the Lord said Himself. Matter of fact, if you go back to the 14th chapter of Proverbs, the 12th verse, it says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death." See, a lot of times man thinks he knows the way. You know, I've studied, I've looked online, I've researched this all out. I'm telling you right now, listen, I'm not against education. So see, a lot of times when I say things like this, people can take the wrong impression. I'm not against education. I'm not against looking things or studying things out. Okay? Assessing things, considering things. Absolutely. But what I'm trying to say to you is, you can't just depend upon that. You can't lean to your own understanding. We started out in Proverbs chapter 3. That's not what you lean to. Yeah, you can look at things. I'm not saying you can't ever research things out or study things, but that's not what you depend upon because, see, the Lord knows what's ahead. He knows a year down the road, 3 years down the road. So, see, we need to acknowledge Him. And a lot of times man just thinks this is the way I need to go. You know, I talked about this. This can be with your job. This can be with relationships with people. And yet right now, everything's hunky-dory. Oh, I mean, there's fireworks going off. I mean, there's bells and whistles. But what about 2 years from now? What about 3 years from now? See, that's the thing the Lord knows. And see, that's why you need to follow Him, and you need to follow His Word. Matter of fact, we go down here to the 27th verse, and it says this, in chapter 20. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The margin of my Bible says lamp, searching all the inward parts of the belly. You know, when we talked about a while ago, the heart of a watermelon or the innermost part of a watermelon, just like you take an oak tree, they talk about the heart of that tree, that it's the center of that tree, it's the core of it. Well, see, that's what your spirit is. You are a spirit being. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, he said, I pray God that your whole spirit and your soul and your body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Okay? That tells me you're a three-part being. The main part of you is your spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord or the lamp. Back then, they didn't have flashlights. They didn't have electricity. They had lamps. That's what they used to see by. What this is saying is God is going to use your spirit. Your spirit is what's going to be able to see things and know things. Okay? And God is going to use your spirit or cause your spirit man to see things and to know things by the Holy Spirit that lives within you now as a believer. The Spirit's going to bear witness with your spirit. We talked about this Sunday. This is so important. Especially in the day that we live, we're going to have to be led. We're going to have to listen on the inside of us. We're going to have to listen to our spirit. We're going to have to go to the core of our being. Not up in here, our mind and our thoughts. Our mind's going to have to get quiet. We get our mind renewed to the Word of God so that we can be led by the Spirit, and our mind and our soul will agree with that instead of fight us and give us fits. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can I just tell you tonight, He loves you so much. He cares for you. He has given you and me exceeding great. They're exceeding. They're not just promises. He said, you know, he could have just wrote in 2 Peter 1, God has given us promises. No, but He said He's given us exceeding great and precious promises. These words are precious. They're precious. They're great. They're exceedingly great. And it's through these words that when we look at them and we attend to them and we pay attention to them and we look at them with our eyes and we listen to them when they're taught and preached and ministered, even when we read them out loud to ourselves, it's life to us. It's medicine to our flesh. It establishes our heart. It keeps our heart. It causes us to have a sound heart. And out of your heart, out of your innermost being, that's where you're going to operate from. That's where you're going to deal with things from. It's out of the heart that flow the forces. One translation says the forces of life. Spiritual forces are going to come from your innermost being. And what's on the inside of you is greater than what's in the world, 1 John 4:4. So you're going to have to tap in to the core, to the inner man, to your heart, and believe with your heart and get your heart established with His Word so that anything that's of this world, you can encounter it, and what's in you will be greater and overcome that. It'll cause you to escape the lust that's in this world, the corruption, the stuff that's going on around us. Hallelujah. Amen, Brother Roger. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to close with this one. Let's go back up. It was here in chapter 20. Let's go back to the 18th chapter. I've got scriptures. I've got scriptures highlighted in my Bible, and you can flip every page, and there is scripture after scripture after scripture just through the book of Proverbs that I've highlighted that I deem very important to me. But like I said, we're not just going to read the book of Proverbs. We're not just doing Bible reading. We're following the Spirit, and we believe that the Holy Ghost is bringing out certain things that will help us, that are very important. Here's a scripture. The very first time I read the scripture, it just jumped out at me, and I thought, wow, is this true? Is this really true? And if it is true, wow, I really need to consider this. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you back up to the previous verse, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. And then he says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I could go back to previous chapters here, a few chapters back, and it says, a man that will keep his mouth shall keep his life. Let me say something to you. Is this true? Is death and life in the power of the tongue? Is God's word true? Yes. God's word is true. I could go to many other scriptures, and we'll look at them down the road. When we get even over in the New Covenant, we'll see other scriptures and exceeding great and precious promises that parallel with this, that agree with this. But we're looking in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to close with this. My brother and sister, death and life, both of them are in the power of the tongue. It is very important what we put in our heart. We have to keep our heart. We have to establish our heart, because what's in our heart will come out of our mouth. And when something that is truly in your heart comes out of your mouth, Jesus himself said, the master, the head of all principality and power said, if something is really in your heart and you believe that in your heart and you say it with your mouth, that is exactly what you will have. I was just reading recently about the children of Israel and how Moses was not able to go over into the promised land that God had promised. I'm not going to get into the reasons why he didn't get to go, but Joshua and Caleb got to go in. And the Lord told Moses, he said, Joshua and Caleb will go. But if you go back to Numbers chapter 13, you see the reason of this. And you see why. One of the reasons is because God had given them the land. I mean, he said, I've given you the land. Now, you're going to have to possess it, but it's yours. I've given it to you. And we see that there were 12 men of all the tribes, one for each tribe went, and they spied out the land. And when they went into the land, see, Canaan's land, see, that was back in the old covenant with Moses and the children of Israel, but really that is a type and a shadow of the life that we have now in Christ Jesus. Okay? Paul said these things were examples, and they were, like I said, shadows, types and shadows, but they were examples for us. And yet, we see that when they went into the land, it was exactly what God said it was. But there were giants there. There was some opposition. But see, God already told them. He said, I'll give it to you. And these giants and these people will be delivered into your hand. But see, what happened was, you had 10 of the spies who came back, and they said, we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't have that. We can't possess that. That can't be ours. And the Bible says they brought back an evil report. Now, they didn't cuss or swear. They didn't use any foul language. They just said, we can't do it. And they begin to talk about what they saw with their eyes. What they saw in the natural. And the Bible says that was an evil report. See, they did not consider what God said. They only considered what they could see in the natural. But Joshua and Caleb didn't do that. They both said, we're well able. We can take the land. We can have it. God said it. We can have it. And the Bible tells us that all 12 men got exactly what they said out of their mouth. You know why? Because Proverbs 18:21 is true. Death and life is in the power of your tongue. What comes out of your mouth is connected to your heart. Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Jesus said, if you believe something in your heart, you truly believe it in your heart, and you don't doubt that in your heart, but that's what you truly believe, and you say it, that's what you'll have. I didn't say that. Jesus himself said that. You'll have to take that up with him. I'm not the author of Proverbs 18:21. The Holy Ghost is. The Word of God is true. And the only reason I say that is to make us more aware. It's not to bring a word of condemnation to us. It's not to put us down. But it's to help us to see the truth and the reality that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Jesus would speak things out of his mouth. And those words could even go to a distant place and bring life and health and healing to people. And they would go back and recall the time that the person was raised up or healed. And it was the exact time when they did the math and they crunched the numbers and the time frame. It was the exact time that Jesus spoke something out of his mouth. Well, Proverbs 18:21 is not just written for Jesus alone. Matter of fact, we're going to see other scriptures later on that will bring other witnesses to this truth and reality. But I want to say this to you. Be conscious of what comes out of your mouth. You remember when I say you remember, I remember my earthly daddy when he was on this earth and I was a kid growing up. And I'm sure some of you watching this, you've heard the same thing out of your parents or your grandparents. My dad would say things like this to me, especially if we ever got around the supper table and was eating dinner or something like that or breakfast, and we'd start trying to complain or murmur about what's going on at school or one of our friends or somebody. Daddy would say this. He'd just stop. He said, stop that. He'd say, son, he'd tell my brother and my sister the same thing. He says, if you can't say anything good, then don't say anything at all. You know, that goes with Ephesians chapter 4, 29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, that it may minister grace to the hearer. And it goes on to say, and grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed. See, what grieves the Spirit of God is that we would not say things that would bring life. When the Spirit is grieved, that doesn't mean he's mad or angry at you. He's just grieved. And he's grieved because he cannot be involved with that unless it's good, unless it's grace, unless it's life. But when we speak words that are of death, then all we're doing is authorizing our adversary to piggyback and to come in and give him place to join in, because he has no authority Jesus has all authority and power. He has it all since he was raised from the dead. So the devil don't have no authority and power. The authority and the power has been delegated to the church. You remember he said, now you can go into the world and preach the gospel. And you can go and in my name. See, his name represents all power and authority. And he's given his name to us to use and to speak things in his name. That's why we're to pray in the name of Jesus. That's why we use his name. The name of Jesus is not a rabbit's foot. The name of Jesus carries all authority and power in heaven and earth and under the earth. It carries authority. And we've been given that to use and to speak things in his name. But our illegal, alien adversary, outlaw spirit, just like when he came to Adam, all he's waiting on, he's wanting you to give him your authority and relinquish what's coming out of your mouth and the things that you're saying so that he can get involved with that. Well, the Bible says we're to give no place to him. The Bible says we're to submit ourselves to God and resist the devil. And the one way we resist the devil is we don't allow the influence of this world and the things around this world to begin to influence our eyes and our ears. And through our eyes and our ears, our heart is established in something else besides God's word. And then out of our heart, we begin to say things that are really under the umbrella of death. There's no fruit. It's not profitable. It does not accomplish the good. Oh, my brother and sister, that's why the psalmist said, let the words of my mouth, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. That's Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we want to be mindful of what's in our heart, and we want to be mindful of what we say. Because we either speak death or life. We either speak healing or sickness. We either speak prosperity and provision, or we speak lack and want. There's only two. That's why the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and let not that man think that he can receive anything of the Lord. Notice you'll never see in the scripture anything that talks about a triple-minded man or a quadruple-minded man. It's only a double-minded man because there's only two. There's Christ, there's Belial. There's light, there's darkness. There's righteousness, unrighteousness. There's death, and there's life. And there's only two. Establish your heart in life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto what I'm saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because they are life unto those that find them, and they're medicine to your flesh. Keep your heart. Establish your heart, especially before the coming of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. That's enough for tonight. Hallelujah. Next Wednesday night, Lord willing, we'll go to the book of Isaiah. And once we get through the book of Isaiah, then we'll start picking up in Matthew going forward. But I'm telling you, you don't want to miss Isaiah. There's some wonderful, wonderful things in the book of Isaiah that has to do with Jesus, has to do with you. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Agree with me here. Father, thank you for your words. Thank you, Lord. I trust tonight that that which is said, I pray, Father, that every ear is a listening ear. Every heart has been a receptive heart, open and receptive to receive. I thank you for the word that's either being planted or the word that is watering the hearts of your people that you love so much. And I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing forth and gathering the increase, because you sent your word to us to prosper and to accomplish that which is in your heart for us. You've always been mindful of us. You've always had us in your heart. That's why you sent Jesus to us. You so loved us that you gave us your only Son, that through him we might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, the promises that you've given us. It's these promises that we partake of life. Oh, we partake of your divine nature. And you've given us all things that pertain to life and to having you, Father God, in our lives. I pray for those who are listening. In Jesus' name, I speak life over you. I speak health to you in Jesus' name. I speak peace to you. I take authority over fear and concern in Jesus' name. And I pray that you comprehend, oh, that with all the saints, the breadth, length, and depth of height and height of his love, and that you be rooted and grounded in it, established, that will eliminate and cast out every concern and fear that you may have. Father, I thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.